The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.
Welcome to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. On today's broadcast, we'll discover truth from God's Word that brings freedom. So grab your Bible as we join Pastor Dwight now for today's message.
John chapter 10. I love the Word of God. I've never, ever, ever gotten tired of it. Don't think I ever will. John chapter 10, verse 10. It's a pretty famous passage of Scripture, but I want you to put your eyes on it. Jesus was speaking to the people about his role as a shepherd of the sheep, and they just totally didn't get it. But we know that when it says thief here, if you read it in context, it's talking about those false teachers and stuff that were prevalent in his day. But it's also talking about the spirit behind that. So when I read the thief comes, I literally just let the devil. It may not always be the devil showing up in horns and hooves with a pitchfork. You know, he's not going to show up like that. You're going to always know when he's trying to pull his shenanigans, if you want to put it that way. I have a saying, I am pretty country still. You can take the boy out of the country, but it's hard to get the country out of the boy. When I start sensing that there's something going on in the spirit that's not good, Sharon's heard me say this 1,000 times. There's a skunk in a hen house. I can't smell the skunk in a hen house, but I can tell by the way the chickens are acting, there must be something wrong. Anytime that the enemy is at work, there's going to be evidence of it. Jesus said, the thief comes. What's the next word? Only. He never, ever, ever comes for any other reason than at least one, if not all, of these three things that Jesus mentions. And I'm going to submit to you that these are not really three things. It's three phases of the same thing. Jesus said the thief comes only. One explicit purpose. What's the first one? It's not kill. It's steal, isn't it? I've misquoted this verse many times. I said, well, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. It's not what it says. It's not at all what it says. So I believe it's a progressive thing, and it's like three aspects of the same thing. It's about him destroying or killing or stealing what God wants to do in your life. Jesus said the thief only comes to do this, steal, kill, and destroy. I submit to you that before he can kill, he first got to steal. And he steals and kills in order to bring destruction. My point that I want to make today is simply this. Anytime the thief is at work, there's going to be evidence of it. But that's not really even the part of the verse that we ought to really focus on. I mean, I just spent a few minutes focusing on it. But here's the part that makes this whole verse notable. It's not what the thief comes to do that really matters. Because he's not in charge. The Bible says Jesus was manifested or appeared to destroy the works of the devil. How many know Jesus never failed? If he came for the express purpose to destroy the works of the devil, then the devil's works are destroyed. You say, well, then how come all this stuff's going on? Because the victory is not being enforced. Jesus said the thief comes only, steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life. They might have what? Life. The Greek word is zoe, Z-O-E, with a little hyphen over it. And it literally means this. It says that they may have life as God intended it before sin entered the world. How many of you know that Adam and Eve in the garden, before sin entered the world, they had a pretty good gig going. There was literally no sickness, no disease, no nothing. They would have lived forever. It was perfect. It was wonderful. Sin entered the world and all the bad stuff came. Every bad thing that you can think of is a direct result or a fruit of sin. Well, what's sin? It's rebellion to God. Simple as that. So is this a sin? Well, can you invite Jesus to do it with you and do it with a clear conscience and a clean heart? I don't know. Well, then you shouldn't do it. Now, I don't have to tell everybody what to do. It wouldn't matter anyway, because I can tell people what to do and what not to do all day long, and guess what they do? Whatever they want. If you don't know that, you've obviously never been a parent, or you've never been a kid. So Jesus said the thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. Here's the part I want to focus on. But I have come. They may have life, have zoe, and have it to the full. In other words, everything God wants you to have, you can have it because of Jesus. The thief can come to steal, kill, and destroy all he wants to. But if you learn and know who you are in Christ and what God has done for you through covenant, you can constantly, constantly keep the devil where he belongs. Amen? Come on, you believe it? Say a good amen.
Amen.
So, Jesus did not come to force everyone to have life. Jesus came to offer everyone life. Amen? But some people don't choose that. And when they don't, you can see the evidence of it. But thank God, Jesus came that we can have life. Turn to Luke 11. Luke chapter 11. I'm going to do something I don't do very often. I want him to show us this in the King James Version Bible. And then we're also going to read it from the Passion Translation. It came to pass that as he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. I'm going to tell you something about these disciples. They've heard prayers their entire life. They could recite to you passages of Scripture. Not a single Jewish boy ever grew up that didn't memorize prayers, memorize Scriptures. They would start teaching them from the time they were little. But the prayers that they knew, to them, apparently, they were inadequate. I mean, no, I can pray, but feel like I didn't pray. But you know, when we pray, we want to have prayers that are effective. Jesus didn't have equipment that he didn't give you. But you have to know about it. And you have to gain some wisdom and some understanding of how it actually works. You ever have somebody like this? You go, I can't find my keys. They go, where'd you have them last? I'm like, if I knew that, I'd go get them. Where'd you put it? I don't know. But God does know. And prayer can be something as so simple as finding your keys. If you will start using your faith in the simple things, in the little things, and learn how to hear God, it can affect big things. Where it really matters. But sometimes, listen to me, the little things sometimes are the big things. Being willing to pray with someone, don't ever be afraid that God won't answer you. What do I would pray with them, but what if nothing happens? You ready? What if something did? I'll tell you what, if nothing happened, they might think, phew, they're weird. Big deal. Who cares? They probably already think you're weird. But what if you pray over them and God does a miracle? Just because you gave him an opportunity to, because you weren't intimidated about prayer. He gets all the glory and they get to know who he is. We can't be afraid to pray. How come the thief gets so much liberty to steal, kill, and destroy? And one of the big answers is because the church don't pray with expectation. So Jesus' disciples, back to our passage in Luke 11. King James Version. It came to pass that as he was praying, Jesus was praying, the disciples came to him. One of them said, Lord, teach us to pray, like John taught his disciples. Teach us to pray. And as I said before, they had heard prayers. What they were really saying was, teach us how to pray that works. It's not just a religious exercise, but teach us how to pray. Now, let me teach you something about Jewish culture. Maybe you've seen this. When they referred to God, first of all, they never called him God. The Jews never called God, God. And here's something else. They were so reverent of Jehovah God, Yahweh, that they wouldn't even say his name. They wouldn't even write it with all the letters in it. So they would write YHWH. They wouldn't even write it out, and they wouldn't even say it. Because they thought this. Here's what they thought. It's so holy, and my lips are so unholy, that I dare not even say his name. That was their culture. So when these disciples, these Jewish boys had grown up with all that religiosity, and they said, well, obviously there's prayer that we don't know nothing about. And they said, Lord, we see you praying. Obviously Jesus' prayer life was different than every other prayer life they'd ever seen. One thing got results. But they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, I want to show you something really. This is so powerful. I pray you get it. You know it. It's called the Lord's Prayer. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. He said this. When you pray, say, Abba. That's their word for Father. When he said that, I guarantee you they went, say what? You know? Jesus said, no. You call him your Father. You want to know how to pray effectively? You start out by leaning heavily on the fact that God loved you so much that he sent his son so you could become his child. And you lean on that.
We hope you're being blessed and encouraged as Pastor Dwight shares this inspiring teaching from God's Word today. And would like to take a moment to thank you for listening and invite you to reach out to us here at the Truth Broadcast. It would be our honor to stand in faith with you in prayer about any need you have and to rejoice with you for the wonderful things God is doing in your life. You can contact us by email at thetruthbroadcast@yahoo.com, find us on Facebook, or by calling or texting us at 580-665-9866. We would also like to invite you to sow into this ministry of God's Word by sending your offering of support to P.O. Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. Your seed will help us reach and teach as many people as possible with the truth of God's Word. Thank you again for your prayers and support. Now let's join Pastor Dwight for the rest of today's message.
You want to know how to pray effectively? You start out by leaning heavily on the fact that God loved you so much that he sent his son so you could become his child. And you lean on that. Everything you pray is based not on how good you've been this week. Some of my most powerful and effective prayers have been when I didn't really feel like I should be very powerful and effective. But I was leaning heavily on grace. Father, hallowed be thy name. I'm going to use the King James Version, and I'm going to take you to the passage. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I like the Matthew Version, on earth as it is in heaven. How many of y'all know this prayer? Or at least, you know, pretty well know it, right? Keep going. Give us day by day, or give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our sins as we forgive everyone that's indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I'm using Luke's version because in Luke's version, and I believe it's two separate things. I don't believe Matthew recorded it wrong or Luke recorded it wrong. I believe that one day Jesus was praying and his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he started in with this prayer. And then I believe one day Jesus was given a sermon on the mount and Matthew heard it and recorded the same prayer almost word for word, but not quite. I like the Matthew because deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You could sound really religious saying that prayer, but what does it mean? What it's about? Who cares if you can quote it in King James or Portuguese? What I care about is results. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. They already knew how to pray religious, remembered prayers. They wanted something that was rubber meets a road. And Jesus goes, well, first of all, start out by calling Yahweh your Abba. Lesson to this from the Passion, verse 1, one day as Jesus was in prayer, one of the disciples came over and when he finished, said, would you teach us to pray a model prayer that we can pray like John did for his disciples? And Jesus taught them this prayer. Our Heavenly Father, footnote says Abba, may the glory of your name be the center upon which our life turns. May the glory of your name be the center upon which our life turns. May the Holy Spirit come and cleanse us and manifest your kingdom on earth. If my life revolves around Jesus, when I'm praying, God, bring your kingdom to bear here on earth, he goes, that's what I put you here for. I created you, knit you together in the womb of your mother for that very purpose, that people could see me through you. So let's keep going with that. Give us our needed bread for the coming day. Jesus didn't say, figure out how you're going to make it. Forgive us our sins as we ourselves release forgiveness. You want to be forgiven, then forgive everybody else. Simple as that. Rescue us every time we face tribulations. These are practical things. When you read it from the Passion Translation, it's really obvious. And even in King James, teach us how to pray, Lord. He goes, all right, start out by saying, Abba, your name is more important to me. Your name is so exalted. You are the most wonderful, awesome thing in the entire universe. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. In other words, manifest your kingdom. Show up, God. Show up. Your will be done. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. That's why God authorizes us with his name to do that. But how am I going to do that if I don't even know what God says? Psalms 119 verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. If I take the word of God out of my life, this is as simple as this. I'm going to stumble and falter my way through in the dark. Here's one for you. Proverbs 4:19 says that the way of the wicked is deep darkness, and they don't even know what makes them stumble. You ever get up in the middle of the night and don't turn the light on, thinking you know where everything's at, but somebody pulled a chair out and didn't tell you? If you take the word out, you're walking in the dark. And the reason why a lot of times prayer is not effective is because it's not word-based prayer. You don't need to try to tell God everything that he needs to do for you. What you need to do is find out what he promised and then line yourself up with what he promised. Jesus was teaching, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He didn't say, my will be done because of your power. Amen. Hallelujah. I remind you of this. Jesus created us to be salt and light. If your prayer life is powerful and effective, you're going to be salty. If your prayer life is effective, you're going to be a light to someone that needs to see God. You and I have to have an effective prayer life. Amen. Amen. The number one thing that I think will affect your prayer life, well, the number one thing is obviously covenant with Jesus. There are people trying to pray that don't really have a relationship with Jesus. That's not going to work very well. I mean, he will hear and answer prayers for people that don't even know him because he wants them to know him. But then the more I know of God's word, the more effectively I can pray. But even if I learn everything, if I just learn it, you know, I learned it, I got educated. Education is not the same thing as inspiration. The word inspiration means spirit-breathed. When the Bible says it's the inspired word of God, it means the Spirit himself breathed it. First of all, I need to know Jesus. But secondly, I need to know what Jesus said. I need to know his word. But if I don't have this that I'm about to mention, I'm still lacking. And what I'm about to mention is not a thing. It's a person. It's the person of the Holy Spirit. In that chapter in Luke, Jesus went on to teach after he said the Lord's Prayer, what we know as the Lord's Prayer. There are actually quite a few verses after verse 4. And he goes on and says this. He goes, which of you having a friend would come to his friend at midnight and bang on the door, and his friend goes, hey man, go away. I'm already in bed. Leave me alone. He keeps banging on the door. He goes, I need bread. Someone's come to me unexpectedly and I need you to help me out. I need some bread. Jesus said, I tell you this. He said, that person inside, even though they're tucked in, their kids are all in bed, they won't get up and give him bread just because they're his friend. But they'll give it to him because of his boldness. Some translations call it audacity. That only comes when you know God personally and you know what God wants you to have. And Jesus concluded that with this. He said, ask, therefore, and you will receive. Seek, you'll find. Knock, it'll be opened. Now, the context is this. He says, ask and keep asking. Like the guy at midnight asking for bread. Seek and keep on seeking persistently. Knock and keep on knocking. The passage says every persistent person who asks, every persistent person who seeks, every persistent person who knocks.
Being blessed and encouraged as Pastor Dwight shares this inspiring teaching from God's Word today, and would like to take a moment to thank you for listening and invite you to reach out to us here at the Truth Broadcast. It would be our honor to stand in faith with you in prayer about any needs you have and to rejoice with you for the wonderful things God is doing in your life. You can contact us by email at thetruthbroadcast@yahoo.com. Find us on Facebook or by calling or texting us at 580-665-9866. We would also like to invite you to sow into this ministry of God's Word by sending your offering of support to P.O. Box
142 Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. Your seed will help us reach and teach as many people as possible with the truth of God's Word. Thank you again for your prayers and support. Now let's join Pastor Dwight for the rest of today's message.
And then he finishes it with this. If you, which of you being imperfect parent, that's a nice translation. Jesus in the King James says, which of you being evil, you know, he goes, know how to give good gifts to your children. He goes, yeah. I mean, even the most evil person you can think of, they know how to take care of their own, you know. Saddam Hussein, I can assure you, he took care of his own. He was a butcher, but he took care of his own. Adolf Hitler, I guarantee you, if you were Adolf Hitler's grandkid, he'd take care of you. His own child, he'd take care of you. But those men were evil. I mean, evil. They know how to give good gifts to their children. Now, this is so important. He said, if you being imperfect parents or evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? How much more? Luke 11, verse 13. How much more will your heavenly Father give what or who? Holy Spirit to everybody. Oh, well, I didn't know you had to ask. That was me in 1991. I didn't know I had to ask either. And then I read the Bible. I said, oh, there's more to this. You want a powerful, effective prayer life? Have a Spirit-led prayer life. Know the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit has something to work with. Have a deep, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus that never changes. I took a nosedive today. Well, that's all right. You're still a child of God. Just get up and wipe your nose off. Well, I've had a great day. Well, that's all good, but it's still God's grace that supports you. You're still a child of God. Come on. Relationship with Jesus, Word of God, Holy Spirit's power. Without Him, the Holy Spirit, it ain't anointed. I don't care what you call it. It ain't anointed. God's power, the Holy Spirit is God's power on this earth to bring glory to the name of Jesus. So, if we want to be effective, if we want to change all the garbage that the thief come to do in our world, you know what God needs us to be? Spirit-filled. Spirit-filled, word-knowing, intimate children of God. If everybody you knew had an intimate relationship with Jesus, knew the Word of God, and was filled with the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't need policemen. You know that? We wouldn't need a bunch of people trying up there in Washington thinking they know what's best for us. We wouldn't need any of it. So how can you and I affect culture around us? By being an intimate child of God, knowing His Word, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to ask you this question. Have you ever asked God to fill you with the Holy Spirit? I guarantee you know if you have. Here's my next question. Well, did you receive when you ask? Because if I ask you for something, I start holding my hand out. I'm like, hey, Sharon, can you hand me my phone? I expect that phone to come over here. Okay, now ignore me this time like you do at home. Not really. Sometimes she does. Because I'm like, did you hear me? Did you hear me? And she's like, no. Oh, she got her headphones in worshiping again. How dare her worship God when she's supposed to be listening to me? Huh? Would you hand me that phone? Hey, can you hand me my phone? Please? Please, I need you to give me that phone. I need it. I need it. I need that. Please? God's not going to do that to you. God is not going to do that to you. If you ask for something that is will, you begin to expect. And when you expect, you begin to pull that to you. You're expecting. And when you receive, the only natural response to receiving, will you hand me my phone, please? Thank you so much. Thank you. I asked, I received. And the natural response is, thank you. Thank you. You begin to worship. Maybe people prayed. Maybe they went to a church where they talk about the Holy Spirit all the time. Talk about, you got to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Come here, we're going to teach you how to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That ain't biblical. The Bible never, ever once says you need to learn how to speak in tongues. The Bible says this, when the Holy Spirit come on you and power up out of their belly, flow rivers of living water. Not some forced out of your head thing, but a natural flow of the Holy Spirit
you ought to get something. Because when you ask, you're supposed to receive. And if you don't receive, it ain't because he didn't bring it. It's because you didn't believe he would bring it, so you ain't got your hand out. Once again, have you ever asked for the Holy Spirit to fill you with power? You have, you believed, you received. You got to keep stirring that up. You keep believing. Holy Spirit, I need you to fresh fire, fresh anointing today. Release that language of prayer. Amen. You ever wish you could pray beyond your emotions? Man, my emotions are so in chaos right now, I can't even pray. Why don't you pray with your spirit then? Separate from your mind. So I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you've never asked the Holy Spirit to fill you today, I want to invite you to ask him. You're not ready for that? That's fine. I get it. But if you said, man, I want a deep, intimate walk with God. I want my prayer to be powerful and effective. I want everything God has. You're not going to do it without him. Today you say, you know what, Pastor? I know why the Holy Spirit wouldn't let you quit a while ago, because I need to hear this. I need the baptism in the Holy Spirit today. I need the Holy Spirit's power to help me pray effectively, to help me be the person I need to be, to help me to love God the way I need to love God, to just be the child of God I need to be. I need the Holy Spirit's infilling today. God, you see hearts, you know us all, Lord God. And Father, even if we've been filled before, Lord God, we're leaky vessels. We appreciate and ask, Lord, for a refilling. I need that refilling today. Praise you, Lord. And what we're going to do is we're going to do exactly what the Scripture said. We're going to pray and believe God is going to bring the Holy Spirit's power in you, on you, through you, whatever. He'll never embarrass you. You ready to receive? Hallelujah. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. Father, you see every heart, Lord God. Holy Spirit, above all things, have your way. Father, in the name of Jesus, you know every struggle, every doubt, every fear. Lord Jesus, sometimes we feel like, man, I don't know how I can continue to be and love the people, love people and do whatever. And the Holy Spirit goes, let me pour some more love into you. You can love them with my love. You say, you know, I want more. Right now, would you pray out loud with me? Say, Heavenly Father, we've read your word. You said, ask, we will receive. Seek, we will find. Knock, and the door will be open. Everyone who asks for the Holy Spirit will receive. I receive you now, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you. Just begin to worship him. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I wanted to give you some instruction. So I prayed that prayer to receive the Holy Spirit. When you go and you're all by you, you get private and you're by yourself. I don't care where you're at, bathroom, car, wherever you are. Thank him again. I think the most powerful encounters you're ever going to have with God are the private encounters that you have, not here. We need that private time. I believe some spectacular things have happened here today. I know you've spoke to our hearts. Father, I believe that today, every one of us, we've heard something that helps us be a little bit more like you. And we're not leaving like we came, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. If you prayed with Pastor Dwight, let us know. We would love to hear about God working in your life as we continue to pray for you. You can connect with us by email at truthbroadcast@yahoo.com. So, until next time, continue in the Word and let the truth of God's Word set you free.
Well, this is Pastor Dwight Shepherd, and once again, I'd like to invite you that if you're traveling here in Western Oklahoma or looking for a church home where you can grow in your relationship with Jesus, we'd like to invite you to join us here at Living Waters Church of Burns Flat. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. So on behalf of myself and the church at Living Waters and all of us here at Truth Broadcast, thanks again for tuning in. God bless you in Jesus' name.
The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.